5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Is it going to be a good addition?
Put moron number two on the phone.
Some better than others.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listening to the Rush Hour.
I feel good.
Oh, yes, a really nice offering for your Thursday. Chris Judd to join us, Triple M's finest. Tim Payne, he'll take a call from us, Bill.
Oh, yes.
I know you've got some questions fired up, ready to go bang, bang, bang. And we've got a discussion here of something you said yesterday about God's mates, which will be interesting, no doubt.
Yep.
A joke to finish it all off. Anthony William Brownless, welcome to you.
G'day, Daisy. Welcome aboard again, and great to see you. Happy Oaks Day.
Yes, and to you.
Are you looking forward to Oaks Day, or... It used to be huge, didn't it? It's more of a ladies' day.
It is a ladies' day. They had a big luncheon yesterday in there at Crown, and we see the pictures there today. It looks like a nicer day than what we saw on Cup Day, so good to see the ladies enjoying themselves.
Well, they're talking about the track being a nice, firm track for Saturday. How good's that?
Already up to a good track today, which is incredible considering the rain we've had.
And g'day to Rabbi, who's done a bit with the hair, actually. What's going on with
you
his hair?
You did a bit with my name, too.
He's only just in front, but he's clinging on, Dinger. The Wild Clan will get one. Dinger, he should have been our mate. Windsor Nectar more wanted. Dinger. Oh, the bloke with five kids. I should have been on it.
Come on, Rick. Rick McIntosh. What a star. We got him on Monday. Good bloke.
He is funny. When he does the seriously, how good is the bull when you're there?
What does he say, Reps?
Seriously, how bloody good is the bull?
Does it one way down the straight the first time, then they turn around and he does it again. So it's interesting to see. Lots happening, though, Bill, in the world of sports. So it's time for
a little whappy.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Hey, nice little rap.
It's Billy's All Sports Report. Don't risk missing all your team's matches of the T20 World Cup on KO Sports.
Still plenty of footy news, Dave.
Another sponsored segment.
I know. And the joke, it's all coming together. It's only taken all year, but we'll get there. Collingwood CEO Mark Anderson has resigned.
Out.
And he's leaving the club like in a month. So it's pretty quick. Which kind of tells you there might be something on the go with him.
So you're thinking headhunted, North or Essendon, currently seats vacant?
I don't know, but there's something going on. Been there 5 years, done a good job.
Membership, over 100,000.
Oh, yeah, he's done a good job, actually. Graham Wright is the new interim CEO there, as well as looking after all the list and all that. He's got a bit on, righty.
He does. It'd be interesting to see where they go for a replacement now. Obviously, the three chairs available, so there's going to be some big phone calls happening.
The Essendon?
Essendon, North Melbourne, and now the Pies spot.
Where would you go if you're a budding CEO?
I'd be going to the Pies. You go the biggest and the best.
Good future. Plenty of money.
Bright.
Good coach.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to go next year?
It's an interesting question that I don't have the answers for.
Perhaps you're a Collingwood man.
I think we'll go all right. I think we'll go all right. Yeah. Yes. Young list.
Yeah, good young list. Good coach.
Pendles is still going well.
He's flying. Getting better.
Benjamin Button.
Hawthorn has signed former Western Bulldog forward Fergus Green, who played with the Box Hill Hawks. So another one from the Box Hill Hawks with Jai Newcomb and James Blank.
Lockie Bramble, I think, as well.
Righto. So he kicked 53 goals in the VFL this year.
That's a good return.
It is. Well, they need someone to replace Jack Gunston, don't they?
They do, and just a couple of little backups there as well. It's going to be interesting to see how they go next year. They're the big question mark. Yeah, we imagine that it may be a thud, Bill. But anyway, they're rebuilding, so we wish them well.
Exactly. Port Adelaide has signed Geelong player Francis Evans. Frank the Tank and Jay-Z told us this yesterday.
First move, I think, will be Francis Evans from the Geelong Cats.
Frank the Tank.
Feel like he is on his way to Port Adelaide.
Yeah. Bang. Well done, Jay-Z.
All over it.
He is, Jay-Z. Been watching the cricket yet?
A little bit.
Yeah. You couldn't watch it the other night. You couldn't see. But
I didn't watch it last night because I was having the big man sleep.
Virat Kohli, who's a star with a bat, dropped the catch the other night.
I saw that.
Very unlike Virat. But he has become the highest run scorer in World Cup history.
Wow.
History. And the highest scorer in the tournament. He averages 220. He does like to be not out.
Yes.
Like he doesn't like to slog too much. He just like a little red ink at the end of the innings. India defeated Bangladesh by 5 runs. The Bangers were on fire. Oh, none for 66. They were flying. They come out and then got beaten there. They lost a heap of wickets. But speaking of the T20 World Cup, the Netherlands, right?
Yes.
They defeated Zimbabwe in the T20 World Cup. And have a listen to the Dutchies sing their song. Orange and blue.
Doesn't quite have the same vigour and conviction of the Tiggs yelling out 100,000 of the yellow and black, does it?
But it's good. I like it.
No, good on them. Ryan getting up
Campbell,
and about.
Who's a Western Australia boy.
Ah, the coach. Old wicketkeeper. He invented the ramp shot.
And he did. Spot on.
There you go.
So he's the coach and he's got him singing the song. I don't know if any other teams sing a song like that, do they, in the cricket?
The Aussies sing one, but you're not allowed to finish it off anymore.
Do you like your tennis style?
I like my tennis.
Mm-hmm. Alex Diminor.
Yeah, the demon.
He's good. Mm-hmm. Well, I reckon he's had his biggest victory in his career.
Diminor delivers the biggest victory of his career. The biggest upset of the tournament this week.
He defeated Medvedev.
Was it the biggest upset of the tournament this week?
I reckon too. Yep. I reckon that. But a great victory. Well done, Alex. Medvedev, where's he from? Oh, he's bloody cranky too, Medvedev.
Yeah, can get the crack the old poo-poos.
Smash the racket.
Big time.
So well done there, Alex. And the Finches, who's got a hammy. Not sure if he'll play this week. He's spoken. We'll go to it very shortly. But also Tim David is in the same position. But they reckon Stoinis will be okay to play this weekend. But here's Finches.
Not an ideal scenario. Injuring my hammy slightly, but we'll wait and see.
Oh, didn't give us a lot. We'll wait and see. So I don't know. He's been a good captain, actually scoring some runs too. Do you play with a slight hamstring?
Well, it'll only be the question between running between the wickets. Which, and he doesn't do a whole lot of it. He either slogs them and goes out or misses them and goes out. And when he fields, he goes to gully and does bugger all. So if anyone could carry it, I'd imagine he's your guy.
Because then the captain will be Matthew Waite. He was captain the other night when he went off, so.
I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe. Questions not sure. Those.
All right.
Is that the end? That's the end of the rappy?
That's the rappy rap rap.
Whoa, well, culling up rabbits, please.
Who we got?
C. Judd, three votes.
Oh, yes.
Inducted into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame, one of Triple M's best. Chris Judd joins us next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Mowed the lawn.
You mowed.
Yep.
You know what that's called? Jim's mowing.
There we are.
Right now, we're joined by one of our all-time favourites, Chris Judd, who was recently inducted into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame.
Our next guest was one of the AFL's elite.
Not good enough, Judd. Pick up. Electrified.
Oh, no.
Look at the superstar, Judd. Judd is
around
him.
Not that you'd ever hear him say that.
Oh, I'm very open and upfront about my tall poppy syndrome.
But frankly, we miss him holding people to account on Triple M Footy.
I'm asking you the question. You're the newsbreaker.
No, I'm just the good-looking bald man.
All right? Please welcome
5CJ
Chris Judd.
Now, Bill.
Yes.
A man who has dead set done it all. Having a look at the CV here. More decorated than a Christmas tree.
What's
Sport
he done?
Australia Hall of Fame member. In the last couple of weeks, Chris Judd, welcome.
Fazzy Thomas, Billy, Rabsy, very good to be back on the M's.
Oh, great to hear your voice on the M's, Christopher. What is this Seven Sport Australian Hall of Fame?
Well, it's what you'd expect, Bill. It's a Hall of Fame encompassing all sports.
Righto.
So it's a bit weird talking about your football career 8 years after a sermon, Billy, but at my stage in life, I'll take whatever I can get. So it was a big honour.
Righto. Who else is inducted there, Dave, so we know who he's in the Hall of Fame with?
Sir George Bedbrook, sport admin, Paralympics, Movement, WA, Catherine Cox, netballer, Brad Fittler from the Rugby League.
Mark Webber.
Tanya Harding, softball. So from all sports, as he's just alluded, but Juddy, seriously, the night itself, are you happy to be back there after 8 years, or are you getting bored of it in your playing career? Two-time Brownlow medal, Lee Matthews Trophy winners. Was it nice to just dust off a suit?
We haven't had the night yet, Dave. It's December 15, we've got the night.
Well, so are you looking forward to it then?
And I'm looking forward to the night. I think it's pretty low-key. I don't think there's a tux involved, no speech. I think you just rock up. and have a couple of coldies. So I'm looking forward to it. I think the great Luke Tunnicliffe has some sort of involvement, as he does with most of these things. So he'll be there, and there will be a few others there. So it'll it should be fun.
Yes. Hey, well done, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you,
Bill. Hey, what about the Geelong Football Club? How good were they, Juddy? Let's talk about the Cats and the Premiership. What a great side.
It was incredible that their trade period was just incredible as well, Bill, yes. Which was pretty hard to believe. So they're, it looks like they're going to be up there again.
What about your two old sides, the West Coast Eagles? What's happened there, Christopher?
Well, they do have a habit of when they bottom out, they really bottom out.
Jeez,
they
bottom
out. Top end talent in. They do just have a lot of blokes that are all going to finish up in that 2 or 3 year window that have just been incredibly important players. So they're a pretty powerful club, Bill. I don't know if you'd write them off, but you know, it looks like they've got a fair bit of work to do. I would have thought.
And the Blues, Judder, what'd you make of their year?
Mate, they were great. I reckon. I mean, all Carlton fans, you know, super disappointed to miss out in the finals. But I think you've got the nucleus of a really good team there. You look down the spine, inside mids. I think you probably just need to add a bit more run. You know, obviously with Akers coming across, but those wing rolls and maybe a high half forward that can get all the way up and all the way back. You've got some good little crumbing forwards now, but you know, I reckon that's what the list needs. But I thought the growth there was pretty strong from the club.
Yeah, you're not involved anymore, are you, Chris?
I'm out, Billy.
You're
I'm
out.
All out.
Do yeah. you? Because do you love that? Did you love the involvement of footy?
What, playing it or?
Yeah,
on
but
the
then
board?
In the on the board and the admin and things like that.
I liked. Was it a nice
no.
segue to finish off?
No, you had to sack five coaches, Bill. It wasn't all roses.
I know.
It was a nice way to round off your footy career. You know, I spent so long as a player. It was good to get an appreciation from the other side of it and see how much people put into it. But it's actually really nice now just being able to watch a game and not have quite the same level of emotion attached. Just be able to sit down and watch it and enjoy it. And if the game's not captivating by the same token, to stop watching it and do something else.
What about this new thing we're reading here, Ticker News, for your Talk Your Book podcast? What's happening there?
Yeah, so Talk Your Book's been taken up by Ticker. So that's an international news platform, Dave. So
Bill,
we're very excited. We're very excited by that partnership.
I've got no idea what he's talking about.
Just for those who might know what you're talking about there, Ticker News.
We create some finance content, Billy, where we talk to different fund managers in Australia, and that goes up on some social media platforms that Chris Judd invests on, and now Ticker News, you know, present there on that. They present that on their news channels as well now.
Oh, right, eh? And so the gold and silver, I see that's dropped a bit.
Well, you've been big on silver, Bill.
I have.
Did you sell any of your massive silver stake?
No, I bought it, and then I've just thought I'd keep it because I heard there's a war coming up, and I did hear someone told me that, and then how good it'll be because that's what they used to banter with in the old days, Daisy. This is what you've got to go back because it's all
I understand that back in the old days, yeah. But times have changed a touch.
Yes, and now it's just gone through the floor. What's happened there with
and
me,
silver? You're big on the physical silver too, weren't you?
Well, he's got the bullions, Chris.
It's bloody heavy. I've got them locked away in a safe.
That's physical bullion.
It is.
What about oil, Bill? I quite like oil. Are you thinking of taking a physical stake there? Down there at Barwon?
Where would I stack it?
A couple of barrels of oil.
You've got 200 mil in the front of the ute there.
Well, someone put it on the bloody Flemington or something. That was stupid. So what do you do now, Juddy? Because you've got the kids. You've got 4 kids. How's all that going? You're a father of the year.
4 kids, so they're going well. They're keeping us busy and then working pretty hard trading stocks and trying to make a living there, which has been pretty hard work the last 6 months, Bill.
Bloody oaf it has, mate. And the lovely Beck. We used to have her in. She's fantastic. How's Beck going?
She's great, thank you, Willis. Yeah. She's juggling lots of different projects, so she's... She's definitely super mum, but she's got a few partnerships she's enjoying working on and enjoying doing a lot of home design stuff as well. That's her main gig at the minute, which she's really enjoying with a property developer and a few other projects.
Oh, good on her. Yeah, she's a good girl. I like Beck. Now, on the Sunday rub, we're missing 2 players, okay, because Ross Lyon's got a job now and the Duck, of course, is gone. So, Daisy.
No. All right. Are you going to... If we're going to do this, Juddy, hang on the line. We'll take a break and we'll come back and then you can answer it.
All right.
No, we need this Just relax, Anthony, will you?
I see what you've done.
Take
you're
a break.
You're teasing.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You and I have both had boys.
Yes.
How is it that when they're little, their farts smell so bad?
We should get a doctor on.
I don't reckon.
Chris Judd has stuck around. By the way, Chris Judd Invest, if you want some financial information, that's probably better than Bill's actual bars of silver bullion that you're stocking at your house.
Don't worry, they'll come good one day. Don't worry about that. Now, before the break, Christopher, I asked you about the Sunday rub. You're very popular here on the M's, of course, and with no Ross Lyon now, no Duck, what about C. Judd coming back and just spending a bit of time with the boys on the Sunday rub?
Can I first congratulate you and Daz on your radio craftsmanship? We call that a hook in the industry, for those that don't know. Just to keep people listening post-break. I thought it was inspiring.
Thank you. We'll take that too. Clip that up, Rabs. So to answer the question, Chris, are you coming back?
Look, not at this stage, Daz, no. Oh. I can't rule it out entirely. But
the 13th?
Anyway. How many more ad breaks have we got to try and get through?
No, we don't. Bill slightly got distracted here. So it's not a definite no. It's a soft no, which to me sounds like they don't have enough pennies to get you back.
If the deal's right, Daz, I've always been clear on that. As of you, you're a good folding man.
Oh, we certainly are. Well, it'll be interesting to see because there is the two spots, as you said, William, and C-Jard, when you go through the Triple M Insta and all the socials, when the spots are available, everybody just says, C-Jard, get him on. They love the Judd Cave.
Oh, exactly.
The Friday night huddle, you took the boys in there, you made them drink Grange, Howie bought a nice pepper jack.
And the dress up. What's some of the gear you had on that night?
It's a very good times, Willis. I actually think it'd be harder to do these days. I think I got out of there just in time.
No. Hey, what about the Spring Carnival? Because you do love your racing and you got a good horse too, which I think runs Saturday, Christopher.
My Oberon in the Champions Mile. So Annabelle Neeson trained and couple of mates. I mean, there's a cast of hundreds that own it, but I've got a couple of mates in there.
Yeah.
And I've got a small part myself. So, yeah, that's a lively chance. We had the message from Annabelle before his run last week at Cox Plate, and she thought it was 70% fit and was just going to go around. And whenever a trainer tells me that, that translates to it's going to lose by about six lengths. So to see it run three wide with no cover and then win by about three lengths in a group two was a bit of a surprise. I think it's a pretty solid horse.
And you were on track that day. You were there with Jonathan Brown, Campbell Brown as well. Did you manage to have a scent on it? Because if not, they would have been blowing up deluxe, no doubt.
I was with them and I had a very small bet on it and they asked what I thought and I thought it'd be worth having a saver on it. So we sort of crossed between, you know, wrapped at one, but they were they're a little bit flat. They could have had some more on it, Bill. But you know,
small bet. You had a small bet, did you, Chris? What'd you have? A
couple of silver things.
Yeah. Just a small bet. A couple of silver bars. Just plonk them down.
And 3 litres of oil each way.
Hey, the Oaks is on in about 40 minutes. Who do you like?
I have not even looked at it, Bill.
Oh,
trying to do some work today. Who are you on?
Well, I like She's Extreme, the favourite.
He's taking the favourite.
Yeah.
Well, that's boring, Bill.
Or Queen Air. There you go. There's something else that dots.
A lot of value came in on Cup Day.
Exactly.
Tends to always be the way. We're talking about your family. How old's Oski now?
11.
Oscar's 11.
How's his footy and cricket coming along? Because back in the Blues days, which is, what, 5-6 years ago, already at a young age, Bill, you know when you see a kid that's got talent and ability?
What's
bat, ball,
out?
Anything, star.
He's going well. He's going well. His cricket in particular is the one he really loves. So he's right back into that. Just haven't had much luck with the weather this year. They've had about two or three washouts already. Yeah. So he's hitting the ball really well. He's a really nice batsman. And we're looking forward to getting into that and getting a few games under his belt.
Who does he barrack for?
He is, well, he's West Coast, but I reckon the period that's coming up, I could see him flipping in the next couple of years, I reckon. He's just starting to soften towards the Blues. I think he can read the play a bit. I think there might be some good time ahead. So he does flip-flop a little bit.
And what kind of dad are you? Are you now, Oski, playing the V, keep the ball on the ground and go and watch every ball, or what?
No, I'm pretty much a stay-of-the-way operator. I bowled him a bit. He's getting harder and harder to get out now, which is a bit of a problem.
What do you bowl? Little offies or something?
I bowl crap, yeah.
Like your round arm, you can't get your shoulders above it.
Very round arm, and there's a heap of heap of tape on the tennis balls now. If you bowl just a straight tennis ball at him, he's not getting out all day. So it ruins the shoulder.
It certainly does. Well, mate, we thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations again on the induction into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame. Enjoy the night when it does come up. And
Sunday.
And Sunday, of course. Yeah, we look forward to having you back on Triple M Footy.
Thank you, gents. Speak soon.
See you, Johnny.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Tom Brady, you'd know plenty about him, Bill.
Yes, I know his mum, Marsha, and his sister, Jan.
Can you believe it?
They're a good bunch.
Gone with the Brady bunch.
On the Listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, JB Bill with Daisy Thomas, former Australian captain Tim Payne to join us after five.
And have we got some questions for him, Daisy?
Locked and loaded now. I'm a bit nervous for that, but I'm more nervous for this.
What?
Topics Brownless, it says here on the rundown.
Yes, please, Daisy.
Well, over to you.
Ring now, 133353. What have you seen? Unusual.
Oh, no.
But it's an easy, simple one. Because you know what? I love giraffes.
You do? Yeah, you're fascinated by them, aren't you?
I saw them in the jungle when I was there. Beautiful animals. Like, walk through the jungle like models. But then they can't, when they drink, they fall over, like the video you sent me. Can you believe there's a three-year-old giraffe called Inoski?
Yes.
Going from Perth to Adelaide on a truck. So its big head is sticking out. And it's going there because guess what it's doing? This is from the Perth Zoo Manager of Zoology. His name is John Lennon. Imagine
all the people. John Lennon
said the number of giraffes in the wild has declined, okay? It's a big worry because not enough giraffes in the wild. So Inoski is going over to Adelaide to play his part over there. He's going to spray it around, old Inoski. Don't worry about that. He's just going to lob in Adelaide because this is what John Lennon said. Imagine all the people. He will be their new man on the block and he'll have all the breeding opportunities he can have over there to try and bolster the giraffe numbers here in Australia. So he's been sent over there just to...
So the point of the story isn't about the giraffe numbers declining.
Yeah, it is.
It's more about what you've seen unusual, which was the giraffe on the back of the truck. Is that what I'm getting?
So hence.
Hence.
133353, ring now. What have you seen unusual? Because the giraffe is in a truck. Have a look at it. A big truck going from
Perth. It's actually how you'd imagine it's a Madagascar-like.
It is. Exactly. It's going from Perth to Adelaide. Inoski's going over there to do some of his best work. Just like me when I used to go to Adelaide.
I could see you head poking out of a truck like that, but that's about it.
133353. What have you seen unusual? Rabsy, what are the prizes?
A double pass to the Red Hot Summer Tour featuring Paul Kelly, Bernard Fanning, Missy Higgins and more at Mornington Racecourse Sunday, January 15. Tickets at Ticketmaster. We've also got a Neverland store voucher to give away and some grilled vouchers too.
Nice. Ring now.
What have you seen unusual?
That's
Triple M's Rush Hour. 133353. What have you seen unusual, Bill? Because currently there's a giraffe going down the Nullarbor.
Exactly right. From Perth to Adelaide. Inoski is his name, going over to the Adelaide Zoo there to do some of his best work. But he's in a giraffe truck with his head sticking out, which is very unusual.
It is unusual. So you've put it to the family and they have answered, Bill. We go to Andrew. Andrew, thanks for joining us. And where are you from?
Albury.
Wodonga and Albury.
And what have you seen unusual, mate?
I saw a lady walking a goat down the street on a leash, like it was a dog or something.
A goat?
Yeah, apparently it's her pet, Bill. She lives in a poor area within town and she keeps a goat, I guess.
Yeah, a billy goat. As you do. I haven't seen many goats. I've seen cats on leads, but never a goat.
Good for keeping the yard down, Bill, because they eat anything goats.
They eat
thistles, roses.
Thistles?
Anything, yep.
I don't know if they eat
thistles.
They do.
That's what you use it out of the bush to get rid of all the crap that the cows thistles don't touch.
Righto. Yes, good work. Well done. Thank you, Andrew.
Fun facts with Daisy.
Tyrone. We'll check that out. Tyrone's there in Sky. Hello, Tyrone.
G'day, mate.
What have you got for us? What have you seen unusual?
I was driving through Footscray and I seen this flatbed tow truck and he had a toy remote control car strapped to the back of it.
All right.
So a full-size tow truck with a kid's remote control.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure he had his son in the car because it was hilarious.
So a big truck with a little remote control car.
Yep.
Jeez, that is unusual.
Yeah.
Well done.
We go now to Alicia in Currumburra. Alicia, are you there?
Hello.
How are you going?
Hello.
Good, how are you?
Yeah, terrific, thank you. What have you seen unusual?
I've seen a golf cart pull out onto the South Gippsland Highway in Leongatha.
With plates on it, or just they just flogged it from the Leongatha?
Smashed windscreen and everything.
How long did it go for along the highway?
Well, it was crossing over to get to Warrail Golf Club, so it was on the highway for about 200 metres.
Oh, not bad. Too bad.
Yeah, I've got it on the dash cam.
Not only legal, but not bad.
Ty's there in Pakenham. Hello, Ty.
How you going there, you bloody legend?
Yeah, oh, mate. Well, where are you?
Oh, mate, not too bad. Knocked off, had a couple of frothies. She's all good.
Away.
Happy days.
And what have you seen unusual, Ty?
Well, I'm a steel merchant, mate, and I've got my brother and my best mate working for me, and I walked from the front office into the back shop, and my brother had a bit of steel pipe wedged against his butt crack, and my mate was holding the other end. He's trying to rip a fart out of it to get a nice echo through it, and I rocked up just at the right time, and I'll tell you what, he gave it a fair crack. She was pretty funny. But something awkward to walk into.
What happens out there?
Mate, I'll tell you what, we're flat out, but obviously not when there's a bloody big fart brewing.
Did it make a huge noise or what?
It wasn't too bad. I'll give it to him. He must have been brewing it for a while.
It's definitely in the unusual.
That is a bit weird when you walk into that. Yes. Wow-wee. Any others? No.
Topics, Brownless, swing and a miss. Any of them you liking, Bill? Any tickling your fancy?
Kim and Wagga saw a draft. There you go. Sunday morning on her way to Flemington.
Oh,
I bet you it was a horse. I reckon she'd had a couple. But anyway, very good prizes. Rabsy, where are we going to go? I'll tell you what was weird. The toy remote car on the back of a big truck. I like that. So that was Tyrone.
Yes, Tyrone, mate, we're going to send you to the Red Hot Summer Tour, you and a mate, Paul Kelly, Bernard Fanning, Missy Higgins and more at the Mornington Racecourse, Sunday, January 15, tickets at Ticketmaster.
Mm-hmm. And we have another prize.
Good on you, mate.
Thank you very much.
Outstanding. Well, Tyrone, there he goes. What do you reckon, Bill, the goat or the golf cart? Or the fart?
Your pick. Well, you're down Gippsland, mate.
The farts confuse me. I'm going to go with Alicia in Currumburra with the golf cart with a smash windscreen on a major highway.
Alicia, we're going to send you a $100 grilled voucher. Make sure you try their brand new saltbush and pepper onion rings. They're 100% natural, gluten-friendly and vegan as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Good on you. Well done.
There you go. So Topics Brownless, a hit or a miss?
It was all right. Yeah. It's always popular. Yeah. It's a simple one.
It is. Who was the zoo bloke from the Perth Zoo?
John Lemon. Imagine all the Rapsy. Wedging that in there, Rapsy.
Coming up next, you said something quite strange on yesterday's show, and for some reason you want to double down on it.
Well, I just want to have a chat about it because it intrigues me.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
It's a good topic, this
good. Thank you, Jim.
Someone else must have thought of it.
Yeah, no, I think you told me.
If you want to get involved in the show on social media, Triple M Rush Hour is our handle. I can't believe I'm saying this. It's a history lesson from Bill that we're going to apparently get.
And I imagine there'll be some serious feedback online from this segment that's coming up.
Are you a religious man?
Not overly, no.
But you love the history and how it all happened?
Yes, we'll go with yes.
That's what I'm intrigued about, how it all happened.
So after the show yesterday, you just wouldn't let this go about the 12 disciples.
Yes.
So what did you
How did that come about, do you reckon? Do you reckon he called a meeting or... like needed middle management? Like, how does it all work?
I don't know.
No.
This is what I'm hoping you can shed
some
light
on. So we all know there's Peter, James, John, Andrew, Judas, who you were nicknamed when you went to Carlton.
Yep.
Exactly. Now there's a do you know there's a Thomas?
No. Oh, is that where doubting Thomas comes from?
That's where doubting Thomas. So this is your history lesson, okay?
Okay, good.
So there's a Thomas, and he was called Doubting Thomas because, Rabsy, he didn't believe that Jesus died originally and then come back.
Bit like Elvis.
Well, nothing like Elvis. So anyway, he was Doubting Thomas. He's a disciple. And they're all fishermen or carpenters, okay? I think one had a car wash. But they're all very fishermen or carpenters. But the big problem for Jesus was there were two Matthews as part of this 12 disciples.
Okay.
Two Matthews. And he didn't want two Matthews. So I believe that he got them together, the two Matthews, and said, hey, boys, let's have a beer. At the Sphinx, we'll go down there, and they met, right?
You have just jumped in your car, this is still the Rush Hour Triple M.
In history, this is what happened. So he's got the two Matthews together.
Yes.
And he said, look, boys, I'm writing a book. I reckon it might be a bestseller, this one. It's going to go all right.
He didn't write the Bible.
Perhaps. He's writing a book, right? And it's going to be a bestseller. It'll be bigger than Tim Payne's. It's going to be a beauty, this one. I'm going to tell that story about old Moses the other day when he... down the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And the time I built that ark, right? Mm, so yes. It's going to have some good stories.
You mean Noah's ark or his mate Noah's?
But he was there. He helped Noah.
Oh, he was taking the notes for his book. Yeah, gotcha.
So it's going to be a bestseller. But I can't have two Matthews. So I wanted to know, how do you reckon he would have sort of, because he said one of you got to be called Levi, which is a bit of an interesting name back then. So how do you reckon that would have worked?
Back in those times, I don't know, who bought me the best present?
Something like that. Well, you had to fight the line.
So not really a present. No, you had to fight something.
But so he had two Matthews. Then he had to go, right, hey, Levi, I'm going to call you Levi, even though your name's Matthew and you're Matthew. So that's how it all happened, the 12 disciples. Did you ever think about that and how it all come about?
Not to that extent, and I'm not sure post this I'll put any more thought into it, because that's the only thing I need to know now. That is so clear.
Yes.
I am clearly smarter and more knowledgeable about this topic
Nathaniel
now.
Nathaniel was another one, which is a strange name.
Big Trev?
No,
Trev. He wasn't in there.
No, Trev. Clint? No, Clint.
Jaden?
No, Jaden. He didn't like some names. Like, let's do a phone or I do where you don't like names. Anyway, there's your history lesson.
Was there a Toby?
No, never call again, he said. He told him a joke one day and he didn't like it.
Package that 3 minutes and 25 seconds of radio up.
I apologise.
There's your history lesson.
Yeah, that was awful.
Did you ever think how it all, how did it go about? How did he start his little disciple club?
Okay. If anyone's listened to that, it's not factually correct. So.
You sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Were you there, were you?
You sure?
I'm not very sure at all. Tim Payne to join us after 5. And Rosie's got some feedback. I wish you had more time to be able to turn some feedback around and whatever that was.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Well, Fat says, JB. We finished talking before and he says, I've got to drop the kids off at the pool and just walked out. Oh, we haven't seen him since.
Big second hour coming up, Bill. We have some feedback from Hose Mary. And after that little segment you've just run there, I would expect it to maybe take up the best part of 45 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
We still have Tim Payne on the line talking all things his new book and everything else that's been happening in his life, which has been a lot.
Yep.
And you'll round us out with a nice little joke.
I will, indeed. But up very shortly at 5:10, which is what, 3 minutes away, is the Kennedy Oaks.
Oh, yes.
The big race today, the Group 1. It's worth $1 million. Do you like anything, Dave? Thanks to our good friends at PointsBet.
I'm just having a look here. So She's Extreme is the favourite, and you've tipped that before. But I'm going to go with horse number 5, Foxy Cleopatra. Oh, three starts, hasn't been outside the placings, only the one win.
Yeah.
A little bit of a shy at the stumps maybe from the camp.
Righto.
But I like it. Looking outside there for a bit of value, gamble responsibly, of course.
Exactly. What about your good self, Ramsey?
Well, I don't know anything outside of Love Tap, Mahoney Sauce, but I don't mind Renaissance Woman.
Number 3.
And for you, William?
I'll go the one, the favourite.
I was having a laugh the other day, though, because you were there on Derby Day and you were telling the story about Taika Waititi. And how you...
The director from New Zealand.
Correct. Had no idea who he was. And this, of course, called the Kennedy Oaks.
Oh, yeah.
So I was in the Kennedy Marquee the other day, and as I walked in...
What is Kennedy, by the way?
They do the fancy watches and jewellery, very high-end sort of stuff. Yes, worth a pretty penny. So I got talking to a couple of people, met one lady, she introduced me to another lady called Jamie, and ended up being, walked away, said, you know, complimented on her hair. She said, you look nice. I said, thank you very much. Pleasant little chat.
Yeah.
Walked away and was then informed that she was the heir to the actual entire marquee/company that I was a part of.
Oh, wow.
So,
were you on your best behaviour?
I was at that point. That was very early on in the day, lucky. So I was very, very lucky indeed.
They weren't happy with you in the other marquee.
No, they were very happy. I was providing a bit of lighthearted entertainment for most of the crowd in there. But I was laughing at you for not knowing who people were and just not knowing what was going on. And then... Well, did exactly the same thing only 3 days later. Well,
it can happen.
It can happen.
Especially at the races when we got no idea. So I'm just reading. Oh, yeah. Nice watches and jewellery.
Oh, yeah. Do yourself a favour, Bill.
Do you, when you log in there, do you, they give you something? A nice little watch?
I just got a little Rolex on the way out, which was very kind of them.
Some bloke dropped it.
He doesn't know it's gone missing.
Well, Mark Zara won the Melbourne Cup.
He did.
A great ride. Mm. He caught up with Triple M Adelaide's Rush Hour, I think, yesterday.
Bluey.
Yes. And just because you won the Melbourne Cup, apparently... Traffic inspectors can still find you. Have a listen to this.
You said about 50 metres to go, you had it won, but was there another point in the race where you thought, oh, we're on here?
That's not a good way, though.
Sorry, my car's about to get towed. Sorry. I've just got to grab my wife to get my car. It's about to get towed at the front of France.
this is
great live radio. His car's getting towed.
You won't be short of any fun.
Just show him the Melbourne Cup and say, come on.
Yeah, who am I?
Oh, I'm sweet again now. I'm sweet. We've saved it from getting towed. It's all good.
At the front of Francois there. Direct
Do you reckon the parking officer would have known who he was?
Probably not, unless he had the cup.
Mm. Well, little jockey, surely. You would have known, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'm not too
sure.
Said,
no worries, mate, I'll let you go then.
Yeah, well, that's what it did sound like happening. But
have you had your car towed? There's nothing worse.
One time, yeah, it's rather annoying. The first bit of paint that comes in, though, you think it's been nicked, and then you look at the sign and go, ooh.
Yeah, that's right. But you've got to go to some back blocks in Collingwood, and a bloke, remember he wanted a photo? I said, no. Because he comes out and goes, oh, you can have it back, but it costs $350 or something.
I said, oh, it's $700
now. Well, it might have been
plenty,
more.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, by the way, Bill, I'll get a photo.
I should have said $750 to call it even.
I said, no, mate, no way. He goes, good one. I said, no, I'm not getting a photo with you.
You cranny.
I did. Eddie, there's photos with Eddie and everyone up there with their car toes. Anyway.
The tar coat.
Hosemary's up next. Yes,
and we know you only charge $40 for a photo, not $800, so it's all right.
And they've jumped in the Oaks. Let's call it now. They go around. Oh, he's won it. Number two's won it.
They've still got another lap. Rosie in the studio next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You and I have both got children that went to the most expensive school in Australia.
And
how's that going for them?
They're not launching any rockets.
Any four of them.
Tim Payne coming up shortly. We just got to work out who's going to ask about the sandpaper. We haven't worked that one out yet, have we, Bill?
No, we'll
flip the coin.
Yeah, we will. Guess what? Mm-hmm. The Kennedy Oaks has just been run.
My good friend,
and won. Now, just before, about 5 minutes ago, you tipped who, Raps?
Renaissance won.
Yeah, right. Didn't run a drum. And who did you tip?
She's Extreme. Got another winner.
Daisy.
Another winner, Daisy.
You went with
Foxy Cleopatra, Tony.
Exactly. And I said She's Extreme. Let's see who won.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bit of feedback from Hose Mary.
Yeah.
It's social media feedback.
Be more constructive with your feedback, please.
With Aussie Super Mole Rosie Walton.
You won.
Anyway, She's Extreme won. So, well done, old tipster.
Yeah, outstanding.
Right,
hello,
Hose.
I very much enjoyed Bill's history lesson. If you haven't heard it, listener app, LISTNR, about half an hour after the show finishes tonight.
Don't you find that intriguing?
I do, but what I find more intriguing is how your brain works. Mm. And so it was like watching Drunk History, that show on telly, but you were sober. And I love that improv stuff.
Yeah.
Not so sure on all of the facts.
There but was a any Blake of them. Had a car wash.
Blake had a car wash and Jesus helped build the ark.
Yes, he was there.
Rabs and Daisy, not sure if you saw this video yesterday on Triple M Rush Hour. It was of our friend here, Bill, completely and utterly devoted to the remnants of a bag of party mix. You had it in your hands. You were cupping it. You were looking at it lovely. Wait, you were turning it over. You were trying to pick the best bits out of it and everybody loved it.
Yes.
Oh. Adrian said, have a look at Bin's face. Never seen him with that much concentration. If only you did that for the show.
Fair point.
Tim, black jelly baby brownless?
No. The ripe raspberry. I said that yesterday.
You said it was the goat.
The best lolly ever.
Josh Wilson. Party guts brownness.
Wilson.
James Wallace, surprised he still has fingers left on his hands. You were chomping so quickly.
Crisp.
Blake Van Roy or Rui, bubble guts in full flight.
Bubble guts.
Omo, superb. No surprise here. And we had two messages. One from our lovely executive producer, Whitney, who's not very well at the moment.
All the best to Whit.
All the best to Whit.
Well, Whit.
Probably should have sent out that yesterday. All the best, Whit.
Yep.
She's written, this is so funny. Followed up by our boss, Ewan Giles.
Oh.
This is quite pathetic.
The yin and the yang.
I love the juxtaposition.
Glenn Blackley? No.
Glenn Blackley?
The CEO would be Grant.
No. And Grant.
Yeah. Anyway, we had a tweet from somebody whose name I've left out in the other room.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Make it up.
She had a dream about Bill.
Oh. Come to Papa.
How did the dream go? Yeah.
She had a dream that he was going to replace Koshy on Sunrise.
That would be brilliant.
Actually, well, breakfast radio. We can't do that.
That's TV. Breakfast telly.
Same thing. TV, right?
Yeah. You have to get up earlier for breakfast TV too. Mm,
but you get paid more.
Do you?
Mm.
You and the cash cow just buddy up there?
Yeah. It could be the cash cow. Don't you hate those numbers from Sydney when they ring you about the
okay
energy?
Okay, so your phone's ringing right now for everybody playing at home. Heather Cook has sent us a message saying, Cookie. I'm missing Billy's golden voice while I'm away. I hate to say I miss the big fella and the rush hour. Wow. Now, Heather, wherever you are, listen at LASTN, you can listen live.
And you can listen to Bill's history lesson at about 10 o'clock tonight if you're struggling to sleep.
I reckon.
That'll put you to sleep. That'll put you straight out.
A little while ago, Daisy, somebody sent us in a little tongue twister for Bill to do. They asked him to say a particular phrase. We'll listen back to it. Oh. Say this phrase that I'm passing to you now quickly three times. It's unique New York. Please, it will be gold. Go ahead.
Unique New York. Unique New York. Yep. Yeah, yep. It was hard to say, hence why they sent it in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my cool king has sent us in another little tongue twister.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to say what it is. I just want him to say it. Uh-oh. I've printed it on a piece of paper. Good.
First look, first read.
He's written hard things to say, it's get fat
country,
to try and
it?
Say this. No, it's not.
Look at
okay, I accidentally swore on air recently.
That's all right.
Irish wristwatch. Irish wristwatch. Irish wristwatch. There you go.
That's
not bad.
Pretty good.
That's
not bad.
Actually not bad.
Yeah. A slight loose.
Daisy, you have a go.
Irish.
No.
Unique New York.
Go on. Say it three times.
Irish wristwatch. Irish wristwatch. Irish wristwatch.
I've never seen you concentrate so much either.
I need some lollies.
Keep your comments coming in.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Triple M
on the socials.
On the socials. Oh, there's also going to be a video of you being completely distracted during Chris Judd's interview.
It's up, apparently.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Was that when there's a race on?
Yes, and you might have consumed a camera.
That is a great way to put it. You can check it up on Triple M's Rush Hour Instagram. Thank you, Rosie.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You never apologise.
You actually have never been wrong.
Triple M's Rush Hour, JB Bill with Daisy Thomas filling in all week. And right now we're joined by one of Tasmania's finest ever cricketers, Tim Payne, whose new book, The Price Paid, A Story of Life, Cricket and Lessons Learned, is available online and in bookstores.
Our next guest is a former Australian captain who helped win the Ashes.
Brought to Payne, and he comes down the track and smacks it in, back over the top.
He's not bad on the stump mic either.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Quite a relaxed man, Tim Payne.
Please welcome Tim Payne.
Timmy Payne, thank you very much for joining us here on the Rush Hour, mate. The book comes out, highs and lows across what was a fantastic career and getting back into it. How are you tracking in the minute, buddy?
Not too bad, thanks, mate. Not too bad at all. Nice to get the book out of the way and now we can move forward with a bit of luck.
We'll talk about the book shortly, Timmy, but you're back playing cricket, Sheffield Shield, which is great. Got washed out the other day, but must be good to put the gloves back on.
Has been, actually. It's been good fun to get back out there. Had a bit over a year off in the end, so, yeah, it was nice. I must admit, I was pretty happy when it started raining yesterday. And they were one for whatever they were. We'd been bowling all day, so I was pretty happy to get off the field and rest up. A bit stiff this morning, but having a great time playing back with Tasmania and lots of my good mates.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to ask you about a couple of blokes there. Tim Ward looks like a really, really good cricketer. And I can't believe old Bananas Siddle's still running around and doing well.
Well, I was actually talking to someone about this morning. He's a freak. I think we're all on the wrong diet, to be honest.
Not enough bananas.
He's absolutely killing it. He's obviously not as quick as what he was, but he is. Oh, he's that skillful. And he does a not bowl a bad ball. And at Bell Reeve, our wicket normally suits Big Sidgy, so he's been cleaning up for us. And the young guy who opens the batting for us, Tim Moore, I think he's going to be an absolute star, Wardy. He's, as I said, Bellary is a tough place to bat. He's got a great compliment. He's a tough little bugger, and he's even now starting to play a few shots and score some runs. So if you'd have seen him bat last year, he would have fallen asleep, but he's improved out of sight, and he's got some nice shots about his game as well now, so I think he's going to go a long way.
How's the rig holding up? A year off and now back into it, behind the stumps there. Lots of bending down, Bill. I know that you and I, the fingers are still a little bit sore, no doubt. Oh, it's gross.
Yep. Fingers always sore. The body's pretty good, actually. The back's a bit stiff this morning. The doctor's given me some pretty decent painkillers, Daisy. I reckon you probably used them at the back end of your career. Bill wouldn't have needed them, being as tough as
tough,
he is.
Tough, yeah, that's right.
but no, I feel actually really good. I lost quite a bit of weight, funnily enough, in the time off with a bit of stress that was going on. And I think it's actually done me wonders.
Yeah, well, it didn't look like it at the Hobart Cup when you're on the piss. Wow, we.
I needed that, Bill.
What about we're seeing through the book? We see some photos there getting chaired off after 100 games of junior footy.
Lord
of
God.
Were you one of those people that had to, and a player that had to choose between cricket and or footy in the end?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you I did. Yeah, but I got contracted. Very luckily, I was contracted to Cricket Tasmania when I was just turned 16, so coming up 38, I've been at it 22 years now, so I love, absolutely, like all cricketers, love playing footy. I would tell you that I would have played AFL, and I tell people the same thing every year. I've become a better footballer every year of that 22 years I haven't played, so loved it, but I think I made the right call in the end.
100th game at the age of 14 for Lauderdale, the Lauderdale Cats, mate.
Well, I was doubling up, Bill, back then when I was a young fella. I'd play the early game in my age group and then play for my brother, who you know, play for his age group. Yeah, China and Blair, Brownless famous mates down here, the unlucky brothers.
The unlucky brothers. They are
living in the shadow.
The unlucky brothers.
They live in shadow.
They must be cold.
I think they're bringing out their own book, Bill. That's what it's called.
The unlucky brothers in the shadow.
Living in the shadow.
Oh, yeah, love it, Timmy.
Oh, Jesus.
And speaking about China and your brother, what about the cricket days in the backyard? You would have had the ball taped, I reckon. And,
oh, absolutely.
And you live next door to Matty Wade, and he's related to Jeremy Howe, isn't he? So
yeah, cousins.
So how's all that? You would have had some interesting players, I reckon, in the backyard.
We had a pretty strong backyard competition. Wade lived just around the corner. I had his other cousins on the other side of his family, funnily enough. So I know you like to think we're all related down here. Well, it does sound like it now. plenty of backyard games, tape tennis ball in the driveway, depending on what surface we played on. We had a grass pitch, we had a concrete pitch. And again, we've probably already talked about my brother too much, but he can't believe Cricket Australia didn't contact him years ago. You know, he's got the Centre of Excellence up in Brisbane that they've spent $50 million on, and he's produced two test wicketkeepers with a tennis ball and a mower.
Who got to take the gloves? That would have been a hot battle. Yeah. You all Wadey?
No, well, funnily enough, it was always automatic wicket. Wadey and myself were probably as youngster tear-away quicks who batted a bit.
Like every kid in the backyard. That's who worries exactly about going to stop and behind the stumps when you've got a fence doing the job for you.
I hated that. Could you get a nick? You're out, weren't you?
Yeah, you never dropped them.
I didn't nick off much, Bill.
Oh, you would have. You wouldn't have seen him. Hey, and you're always captain. I read the book. Well, I read bits of it, actually, Tim. Yeah. I got involved in it. You were always captain with school cricket and club cricket. So you're always the leader, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much. As long as I can remember, sort of right back to sort of grade five, grade six, funnily enough, probably because I was the loudest, to be honest. But, I think I also, because I had older brother, I'd always sort of played up an age group or two, so I was probably a bit further down the track than most blokes my age in terms of knowledge of the game and stuff like that. So, yeah, captain through school, captain Tassie underage teams, and ended up in the hot seat of Australian cricket, strangely enough.
Wow.
The biggest job in the country, the book, The Price Is Paid. We'll touch on that after the break. Are you going to stick around for us, mate?
Yeah, I can do that for you. No probs.
Appreciate it.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Married for better, for worse. He couldn't have done any better and she couldn't have done any worse.
Former Australian cricket captain Tim Payne has stuck around.
Righto, Timmy. Some of the harder hitting stuff you'll get from us. The Price Paid is the book that comes out. And one of the biggest talking points is, of course, you feeling abandoned by Cricket Australia. It's been everywhere about this and the story. How have you come out of it now that you're back in sort of playing cricket again?
Yeah, I'm okay still. Obviously disappointed. I've said that, you know, plenty of times. There's a bit on it on the book, just with the way the situation was handled, given that it was, you know, 3 or 4 years in the past, and I've already sort of been investigated by the Cricket Australia Integrity Unit and been given the okay. So for that to sort of be flipped on its head after we'd put time into sort of what would happen if and when it did come out, that was sort of, changed at about 11 o'clock the night before, unfortunately. But, look, as I said, got the book out, got my side of the story in it, and now try to move on.
Yes, indeed. And the other one, of course, was all to do with the sandpaper gate. But that series, it had a bit going on, didn't it? The South Africans, they got Faf, who always carries on, Rabada, who gets a few wickets, as you say in the book, yeah. and then gets very, very aggressive in people's faces and things like yep. that. You got Quinton de Kock, who's a beautiful bat, but him and Davey Warner are having this ongoing battle.
Yeah.
There was that run out by Lyon when it looked like it threw, he threw the ball down on
AB's head.
That's yep. right. So there was plenty going on, Timmy, in that series anyway.
Yeah, there was. It was strange, actually. And we'd just come off a series in Australia against England, which was sort of, you could probably tell it was heading that way, actually. There was a bit of heat in that one as well. But I think when we got to South Africa, it went to another level. There's no doubt about that. And I think Fast Book had just come out as well, actually, and he talked about their mentality in that series, which was to try and bully the bullies. And I think that's what you saw. They came pretty hard at us, and then we went pretty hard back. And, you know, they thought we were cheating with the ball. They thought we were cheating with the ball. And everything just went one step further in that series. It was a heated, fiery series, which at the time was, part of it was awesome to be a part of. And obviously the other half was horrible to fall out from it.
Plenty going on. It was like Donkey Kong. It was all happening. but also in the book, and you got to read this yourself, but you said that you saw the South Africans actually ball tampering after the sandpaper gate.
Yeah, and I think, again, if you read Faf's book, which I know you will be.
Nah. Was, only no, yours,
he talks about it, and yeah. I touch on it a little bit. That,
yeah.
You know, it had become a little bit of common practice in international cricket. The teams were trying to get the ball to reverse swing, and a lot of the time that wasn't within the rules of the game. So, I mean, I think you see now there's not a hell of a lot of reverse swing going around in international cricket, and that's probably the reason. I think the game's cleaned up in that area a lot since... you know, the fallout from that infamous series.
Yeah. What happens instantly after that sort of a vision comes out? Can you take us in the sheds there and what the process is from there?
Yeah, it's a funny one. Yeah, well, there wasn't a process for it, I don't think.
No.
That was probably half the problem in the end. I think the end of that day's play, Cape Town's an interesting change room. It's split into about three different spots. And I remember coming off because not back then, it wasn't a million years ago, but... I mean, you remember guys were getting done for ball tampering and getting one or two test matches. It was a bit like punching someone in the AFL, really. That was the equivalent suspension for it. So I wasn't all that worried at the time. I just thought it was sort of a bit of common practice and people had been rubbed out before. But Smithy and that were obviously really worried and probably read it a bit earlier than what I did. So they all went into another room with a lot of our sort of senior staff and from there, we're whisking to a press conference, which we watched, actually. Most of us watched from in the change rooms itself. So we're a little bit in the dark at the time with how it went down. But, yeah, it's obviously something that we're all disappointed to be a part of and something we've got to carry with us for life.
Yeah. But we all move on too, by the way.
Yeah.
So, and the book's there, Tim Payne, The Price Paid, It's a Beauty. Couple of ones here. Who's the best keeper in Australia right now, Timothy?
I think... Well, we probably have to say the guys playing for Australia. Alex Carey's probably the best. Josh Inglis is right there with him. He's probably the premier gloveman, if you want to talk purely wicket-keeping.
Yes, yep.
Then there's another guy, I think, coming through called Josh Phillippe, who's probably someone to keep an eye out on. He's got an unbelievable amount of talent, and he's just starting to click, so I think he's one for the future.
And the fastest bowler you kept to, because I was reading in your book, Sean Tate, you're keeping him one.
The wild thing happened for me.
Yeah.
Mate, I kept him in England once. Well, actually, every now and then it pops up on my YouTube if I'm watching it, funnily enough. And, mate, he was knocking. I still remember because Andrew Strauss was one of the premier batters in the world. He's obviously an opening batter who renowned for being good players of fast bowling. And I just remember Tatey hitting his stumps before he'd even picked the pad up. And it was at Lord's and I was standing on pretty close to the white line, the circle.
Yep.
Which is 30 metres from the stumps, and the off stump stopped about a foot in front of me when he hit it bowling Andrew Strauss.
That's OHS sort of stuff.
It was, and I still remember Kevin Peterson went down the order that day with a sore back.
That
probably gives you a bit of an indication of how fast he was bowling.
Yeah.
What about the upcoming series we have? The Aussies taking on England will be here on Triple M Cricket.
Yep.
What can we expect in the ODIs, the tests against West Indies? What are you expecting from the Aussies?
Well, I think we'll always be pretty solid. It'll be interesting to see with this one-day series what side we pick, to be honest, because I think obviously coming out of a World Cup and then there's a lot of test cricket straight on the back of that, so I wonder if they give a few of the big boys a rest. But England, obviously the best, probably white ball team in the world, are going to be a real handful. And then I think the most exciting part of the summer is going to be when South Africa get here for those test matches, because their pace attack at the moment is, they've got three or four guys that all bowl as fast, if not quicker than ours. So it's going to be unbelievable vision to watch. I'm excited for that, particularly the test match in Perth when the wicket's going to be flying through. Ooh, so that'll be one for everyone to keep an eye out for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Timmy, all the very best with the book, mate. Well done on putting your side of the story out there. All the best with what you're doing now, and we thank you very much for your time on The Rush Hour.
No worries, gents. Thanks for having me.
Tim Payne on The Rush Hour, whose new book, The Price Paid, A Story of Life, Cricket and Lessons Learned, is available now online and in bookstores.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
On the Listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. JB Bill with Daisy Thomas, who's doing a fantastic job filling in this week.
I appreciate all the love. Tomorrow will be a massive show, Rabsy. Mm. Bill, this is going to be fantastic. Sarah Rowe from the Pies AFLW team, she is a good chat. She'll be joining us. Will Anderson, one of my favourite and Australia's favourite comedians, Friday brag artist.
Yes.
And...
what?
We get a little bit fruity with a joke on a Fridays.
Exactly. No idiot foul I see there, so that means I've had a good week.
Hold your horses.
I've had a good week, that tells me.
No jigging the seat, you've had a good week.
Riding horses,
finish today's show off
so
with
when
an
we
absolute
have,
zinger,
when
please.
We have an idiot foul tomorrow, can we replay that?
No.
Probably, yes.
Jokey joke.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke. Allegra Interiors, Melbourne's premium curtains and blinds retailer. For a free quote, search Allegra Interiors.
See that, Daisy? That's called a sponsor for the joke.
I know. I hit them up for their free quote as well, Bill.
Oh, you did. Good
quick
work.
Response time, too.
Jeez.
Premium curtains and blinds as well.
Free quote. And now, here's one for you. A blind man was sitting on a bench with a dog and a white stick, Daisy. I went up to him and said, "You must be blind." He said, "Tell me something I don't know." I said, "Well, there's a tree there, a rose bush there. Lovely green grass there."
No, it's wildly rude and inappropriate on so many levels.
Now, Rabs, don't get sucked in.
You haven't had
a.
You haven't had.
No,
you have not had a good week.
You've gone zip for three.
No, I don't mind that. Rabsy, no. I don't know what's wrong with you.
It's offensive.
No, it's not. It's a joke. Just a funny little gag.
Inapproach, as Jing would say, inapproach.
Just a funny little joke that no one
it's
seems
not funny.
To get. Well, it's up to... Well, who are you the boss to say that? Who are you? No, I'm not talking to you anymore.
He's cracking again.
Here we go.